You got a little Ouija with Paddy Power on this one, then?
Yeah, mate. Big man to score any time. I'm backing him.
And it looks like it's the big man who's coming off.
Oh, he's going to struggle to score from the bench, pal.
Oh. Fear not, punter, because with Paddy Power's super sub, your bet carries over to the player coming on.
Y'all ready for this?
So now, all subs are super. Paddy Power. Football, you got to love it. Valid on selected leagues and markets only. Pre-match and in-play bets on qualifying player outcome selections only. T's and C's and exclusions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello again. As we go down the route of the Rudy here on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast, this is podcast number 3 of 4 this week on a racing action. This time, though, whilst Rory DeLargy, my intrepid pundit, I could use any word there, Rory, but I went with pundit.
Any word, but it done, yeah.
Yeah, any word, but pundit will do.
Assuming it's a noun, obviously.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We have company, Rory, this time. In the form of our trader, Joe Logue. Joe, you sent us a lovely little Kentucky Derby clip. No joy, but I think we now know we're not going to be backing any justified three-year-olds, or at least we're making that snap decision now. Is that the call?
I think, okay, finishing last wasn't great, but he had a shocking journey round and he got bumped coming out of the stalls and got bumped in the back straight as well and didn't look like he enjoyed the kickback. But it could have been a real good weekend for Justify. Didn't turn out to be. I was actually over Newmarket as well. I was hoping to see a bit of history at City of Troy winning by half the track, but it wasn't to be. But I don't think you can. I think it's too early to write them off yet, PK. We'll have to wait and see.
Okay. You did get to see him beat by half the track, though, so that was something. I mean, you got to see one of the two. That's cool. What was Newmarket like? I've never been.
It was fantastic, actually. I was actually caught unawares of how remote it was. I spent, I'd say, most of my kitty on taxi journeys to and from the hotel to Newmarket. But it was cracking track. Atmosphere is brilliant. Sunday was, the crowd was a little bit more racing focused rather than kind of Saturday racing fans. And it was real cracking racing atmosphere there and Sunday. It was brilliant track, great viewing track, plenty of facilities. Weather caught me a bit unaware as well. I flew over Saturday morning with a coat and a jumper and it was about 18 degrees and sunny. So I had to dump the coat around the corner because there's no cloakroom. But no, it was a cracking weekend. Yeah, I really enjoyed
it. Excellent. Yes, it's just, as you said, it looks so expansive. It doesn't like strike you as like, oh, I'll definitely do that when you look at Kentucky and you see 100,000 people and stuff like that. But
you're right on top of the track, PK. It's fantastic. You can stand in the stand at by the winning post. You're no more than 10 meters away from the horse up the rails. It's fantastic.
That is cool. All right. Well, we'll go next year, he keeps on saying. Right. What we're going to do is we're going to look ahead to the Friday action on ITV, which is Chester's final day. And of course, we've got a nice little Ascot race to look at as well. But I want to remind you that as we've had daily podcasts each day this week, we'll have another one tomorrow looking ahead to the weekend's racing with the same duo. And for those of you who are really aware of the big betting event this Saturday, it's not the Linkfield Derby trial, folks. It is the Eurovision. And by the time you listen to this, I hope it's already out. It should be on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel and the podcast. It's our Eurovision preview. Myself, Stephen Cass, well-known Eurovision pundit, and of course, Frank Hickey, go through the Eurovision do's and don'ts. And I tell you what, Rory, he says he's a kind of a dip in and out. He properly does. He's in a WhatsApp group with Cass and they talk about Eurovision for months on end. I mean,
it's a year-round thing.
Yeah, exactly. They're talking about...
They say the preparations for the Cheltenham Festival begin the Monday after Cheltenham finishes, but it's the same with Eurovision, isn't it?
Oh, it's the same. You can. I think the market goes live on the Betfair Exchange the day on Sunday for next year's Eurovision. And the usual, it's the usual Willie Mullins. No, it's Sweden, I think, are usually favs. Even it's gas. But anyway, it was great fun recording. I must say, we had really good fun. Even if you're not into Eurovision, if you want to look at it from a betting perspective, it was good crack. Now, Friday at Chester. If you're going, if you, the intrepid listener, are going, look out for 28 louts. Because Tom Nugent of this very parish, Smooth Tom, his stag is going to be on Friday at Chester. And producer Mark will be there as well because they're best buds. And if you want to buy them a pint, please
do that invite.
No, neither of us did, funnily enough. Actually, I'll break the fourth wall as I often do. Tom texted Frank for a few tips on the Friday at Chester. And Frank just got back. Here's tip number one. Don't ask for tips from the fella you didn't invite to the stag. But anyway, we do wish Tom... it was a cracking answer, wasn't it? We do wish Tom and producer Mark and everyone else, 28 of them, oh my God, on the Friday, that could be carnage, Chester's Rudy. So we are going to give them some winners. We are going to give them some winners. Starting in the 130, which is a 7.5 furlong, let's call it nearly a mile handicap. Lamarty Dreams looking for 3 wins in a row for Carl Burke and Clifford Lee, including, of course, a distance winner. The Money Horse has been Dancing Magic for Roger Teal and Willie Buick. 8s into 11-2. 7-2 Finn's Charm, the top weight. 8-1 Documenting and Percy's Lad. And on your return to the pod, Joe Logue, where are we going in the 130?
I'm going with the third last year. That's Percy's Lad. Like I said, he was third to Revoich. He was drawn 13 last year and he's drawn 13 again this year. But look, I looked through the stats on this. I don't think the draw's as significant over this trip as it is others, although it's not ideal. But he's only £1 higher than the third last year, and he had a really good reappearance run behind Poet Master at Newmarket. And Poet Master is just totally unexposed. He's only a few handicap runs. So I think that could read really well as we go further on into the season. But look, the yard's going at 29% strike rate the last 2 weeks. So I think I'll go Percy's Lad each way here at 8-1.
Yeah, he's good form figures at Chester, I think, from 4 runs at the track. Percy's Lad for Joe. Rory?
Yeah, I'm with Joe here. Percy's Lad run an absolute cracker on his return. He tends to run well at this time of the year. As Joe said, he was third in this race last year from the worst of the draw, in inverted commas. This 7.5 furlong trip, the draw tends to be slightly less important. They tend to have the stalls on the outside of the track for this trip as well. It's worth just checking whether that's the case here. But yeah, it doesn't seem to be such a big thing. He's got a bit of early pace to get himself into a good position. He comes here in form. He's got a jockey in Richard Kingsgood who rides Chester very well. And he's got a lot going for him. He does look like a solid each way selection. And as you said, he's got plenty of form at this track on different ground. I think that, you know, I suppose they will sneakily water again, won't they, at Chester? But they're going sufficiently good. And you'd have thought it was getting towards good to firm towards the end of the day. The one thing I would say now for this weekend is for the first time all year, we're getting genuinely high temperatures as for any of the meetings, as far as I can see. You're going to get ground quickening up rapidly and quickening up through the day at certain race meetings as well. So looking at Ascot and Lingfield for the weekend, going reports there are suggesting good to soft in places or soft good to soft in places. I think both those tracks will be riding good and tight come race day for Saturday. So that would affect the way I look at the racing. But as far as I can see, you can almost hear the ground drying up at the moment, and it will tighten up considerably between now and Saturday. But it was really good at Chester for the start of this meeting. They've watered it to keep it that way. But with a bit of sunshine, that water evaporates fairly quickly as well. So you want something that will handle a fairly fast ground, certainly by the end of the day. But Revoich is proven on quick ground and slow ground here. Has a good record at Chester. This unusual trip suits him ideally. And it's hard to see. Well, it's hard to see him out of the frame, but Chester's one of those tracks. It's never hard to see anything out of the frame, really, isn't it? Depending how things pan out. He's a solid selection. The yards in form. A few of his rivals would like softer ground, I think, as well.
All right. 2 votes for Percy's Lad in the 130 at Chester. 205 is a maiden. On ITV, showing us a few maidens. This is the mile and a half maiden and change. A confined maiden as well. Now, Ryan Moore's not riding tomorrow on Friday. We're recording, by the way, on Thursday. I don't know why. Maybe he's banned. Ephesus, so will be ridden by William Buick, Fraden O'Brien, and likely to be put in around about the money mark. Don't know Paddy Power prices, but I think he'd be something like that. Mr. Hampstead for the Amo Racing team, David Egan and Roger Varian combined, likely second favourite. Then you got Mina Rashid for Andrew Balding and Oisin Murphy and Ancient Myth for Carl Burke. Back to you, Rory. A maiden or mile and a half, not really your shtick, but go on, give us your thoughts.
No, not really. And I'd be a little wary of getting stuck into one of Aiden's at 5-4 in a maiden here. He does have the pedigree for it, Ephesus. I thought Mr. Hampstead had achieved at least as much in 2 starts to date. And that conditions race in which he was 4th at Newbury in last month, the Darley Novice Stakes, tends to be quite a deep contest. It wasn't a particularly strongly run event. He's come from midfield there. I think he was a little bit better than the bare result. That was a marginal improvement on his debut. I think he'll come forward again. A son of Galileo, out of a Scat Daddy mare. I think he'll bounce off this ground. And I thought Mr. Hampstead was at least as likely a winner on paper as Ephesus. So he'd do for me. But again, you know, it'll be for the sake of a selection there. I don't tend to bet in maiden races unless I have a really strong opinion about wanting to be against a a particular horse.
Yeah. Closely related to Save the Last Dance, isn't it, Mr. Hampstead, who's out of that filly who nearly ran into the stalls in the Oaks when the thunderstorm was, Daddy's Little Darling. Remember the American filly?
Yes, indeed. Yes, yeah.
That was a good one. And Olivier Pellier had to dive out the left-hand side. Joe, yourself?
Yeah, unlike Rory, I actually do a lot of my punting on the flat in maidens and novices.
Excellent.
I wouldn't be a huge kind of 7-furlong mile handicap punter on the flat. I do like these kind of races, and I'm agreeing with Rory here. I'm very happy to take on Aidan O'Brien's favourite. Like, they are probably underperforming a bit, although this lad has a run. Aidens are coming on for the run, but still, it's just, you wouldn't want to be taking a short price about him, and Mr. Hampstead is the obvious other option. I thought his debut run at the All-Weather Newcastle, just narrowly beaten by Maidan and drawing well clear the field, was really good. Maidan was obviously a bit disappointing last time out, but would kind of be looking to rewrite that wrong there. But like Rory said as well, he wasn't best placed at Newbury, and he was out the back off a slow gallop. The finishing speed that day was 110%, and look, he stayed on really well, and now goes up and trip, and looked like you mentioned, he's a brother to Save the Last Dance. He cost 575 grand as a yearling. He doesn't look overly slow, but a bit like Save the Last Dance, up and trip is definitely going to help him. You'd hope that they'd position him a little bit better, or read the pace a little bit better this time out, because I think they have a real good opportunity of winning this race. I actually think he'll go off favourite, to be honest, PK.
Oh, it's a big shout, because even our sister company Skybet prices as we record, and it's 11-10, 9-4. So
yeah, I've taken the 9-4 myself.
Excellent, lovely. All right, Mr. Hampstead, smell a nap there. You went with Ephesus on the pronunciation, Rory. You're ancient. Now, I did Google it while you guys were chatting, Ephesus or Ephesus. It's one of two things they've named this after. It's either the ancient city in Turkey or the kebab shop in County Wexford. And it's one of the two, according to my Google search.
But they're both pronounced Ephesus. So,
well, then, okay.
Although,
all right.
You know, the people from Ephesus are called Ephesians.
Oh, okay.
As any Bible scholar will tell you, but, you know.
Yeah, been a while since I opened the old Bible now, I'll be honest. Well, maybe I'll just do the listen. Yeah, I'll get like Liam Neeson to read it out to me or something.
Oh, Liam Neeson reading the Old Testament.
Hey, why not? Yeah. It'd be a bit of crack. Yeah, I have a particular set of skills, said God. Right, let's go on to the 2:35 at Chester, where it's a good chance that Sheikh Obaid Al Maktoum will win it, because he's got Bolster at the top of the market at 7-2 and Botanical for Messrs. Burke and Varian, respectively, at 7-2, 9-2. Killybegs Warrior for Charlie Johnston is 9-2. And then again, Mushin, Andrew Balding and Usheen Murphy, or Mushin Balding and whatever it was, 5-1.
Mushin Durkin.
Exactly. Yeah, he's well known. Son of Ted. A mile and a quarter, I should say, handicap, Rory. More your stick, so let's go.
Yeah, it is. It is more my thing, and I quite like City Streak. Here he did well last season, winning early and finishing a very good second in the Zetland Gold Cup at Redcar, which used to be one of the big handicaps of the season up north. He then won at Ascot over a mile and a half off a mark of 87. And although well beaten on his final start last year, he bounced back to form when second to the well-handicapped Tasman Bay, who was into, he was tried in group company after that. But that was a decent contest. Tasman Bay won it by 2.25 lengths to City Streak. The third champion, Piaf, went on to win a handicap next time out. And Miss Dolly Rocker, who was well beaten fourth, she ran very well in a handicap on her next start as well. So the form looks solid. I thought City Streak would come forward for that first run of the season. And as I said on the first day's podcast here, backing Andrew Balding's handicappers blind at Chester, never a bad move. A big gamble on his runner in the first race of the meeting, wasn't there? And only just got touched off from what should have been a poor draw. But City Streak looks like he's been teed up for this. He won't mind. Although it was good for although it was heavy ground when he ran at Bath. He's run very respectably on good and quicker ground. So as long as it's not rock hard, which I don't think it will be for early in the day, with a chance of them watering in the morning as well, I think City Streak will take a bit of beating here.
Lovely. City Streak for the Murphy Bowling team. Joe.
I split between the two Sheikh Mohammed Obaid runners, Bolster and Botanical, but I do have just slight concern about Bolster. He's just kind of bombed out twice on good to firm ground last season, and I presume that's why they the stable switch happened, but he came out and won at the start of this season in Pontefract on soft ground. And look, Carl Burkett probably continued to improve him, but at 7-2, it's just a little niggle for me at the prices. But he did win early on in his career on good ground, but it's just short enough for me. So I decided to go for Botanical. He's good runs in novices and just narrowly beaten by the likes of Measured Time. And he was third in handicap debut off 87 at Ascot. And they put a hood on him that day and then they took it off. And it looked like he improved to me anyway at Hamilton, where he won off 87 and beat Mr. Professor, who ended up winning the Lincoln well. So, yeah, look, I think he's entitled to improve given how exposed he is, or unexposed he is. And just turning four now, I think we could maybe see a little bit more improvement from him. And look, the yards and form, I just think he's interesting. Just the only negative is that he probably will be held up and drawn nine. So, I think kind of 9-2, 5-1 is a fair enough price to take, but I wouldn't be going in at a short price.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, Botanical for Joe, but not a short price. City Streak a bit stronger from Rory in the 235. On to the Huxley Stakes, a Group 2, 1.25 mile, and Passenger have been well backed, or at least something came out in the anti-post market, but I see 9-2 into 11-4 for Sir Michael Stout. Richard Kingscote in those Niarchos Flaxman colours. Israr for the Gosdens and Jim Crowley, 3-1. Hans Anderson for Aidan O'Brien and William Buick again, obviously teaming up 9-2. 11-2 Royal Ryan for Carl Burke and Shake Abade, and then 12's Bar. Back to you, Joe. Passenger could be one of those typical Stout. He continues to improve. They obviously thought a lot of him. Very rare to see him go on his third start into a derby. That's what he did. So where do we go with this fella?
Yeah, he was the big talking horse last year, wasn't he? And like, you have to respect him here, I suppose. But again, like, it just looks very short to me for a stable that probably aren't going as well as you'd like to be if you were going to back him. I'm just looking at his form here. He's like had two favorites his last two runners. They're only beaten kind of one length, second and third, but there's a lot of them that are finishing well beaten as well. So I'd be looking elsewhere, to be honest. And Michael Stout has two in here, so kind of breaks up the field easy enough. I like Royal Rhyme again for Carl Burke stable is one that would interest me, but I think he might be a little bit better with a little bit of dig in the ground. So I decided to go with Israr. And he was collared last time out at Sandown. But look, that Okie Chokie, like, he looks like a good prospect, albeit he's four, but he did miss a bit of time. He's one that, you know, as the season goes on, could be, you know, have a say in big enough races. But I don't think the soft ground suited his rider last time out. He's returning to better ground here. I thought he travelled really well and just got kind of beaten late on. He was really well backed in the market, 3-1 into 9-4 on the show. And look, he did show a bounce back to form last time out after being a bit disappointing in Doha. So, yeah, I'd be happy enough to take on Sir Michael Stout's favourite here and go for Israr, give him another chance on better ground.
All right, Shadwell to the fore with Israr. Rory, good race. This is a lot of Group 1 form.
There is, yeah. I'd make Israr arguably favourite here. Again, I'd echo what Joe said. But I'll be going elsewhere just for a little bit of value. But if I priced this up, I'd make Israr a marginal favourite. Jim Crowley almost nicked it halfway up the straight at Sandown and just got reeled in late in the day. And he'll have fitness on his side after a couple of runs this season as well, which is definitely a question mark for Passenger. For all we know, Sir Michael Stout can improve them. But, you know, if Sir Michael Stout can improve a four-year-old, think how much he can improve a nine-year-old. And Regal Reality is a horse who's overpriced based on the general level of his form. He's always had a reputation of being a little bit of a character. He often doesn't want to parade. He sometimes doesn't want to go to the start, but he's got better as he's got older. He came good this time last year, winning on quick grounds at Epsom. And he's got a run behind him as he had last year. He was a fairly distant fourth at Newmarket at the Craven meeting, although it was the bigger Gerard he was in, the Gordon Richards rather, that was rearranged from Sandown that was abandoned last year. He was a poor fourth in that last year before winning at Epsom. And again, he reappeared at Newmarket and ran a better race in finishing fourth in the Earl of Sefton behind Ottoman Fleet. He'll come on for that run. He's drawn out wide, but he's got plenty of toe. I see him getting to the front here under Safi Osborne, and I can see Safi just trying to play a bit of rope-a-dope with the others and get to the front early, try to slow things down a little bit, and then nick it off the bend. There are one or two others, obviously, with more scope for improvement than Regal Reality, but he runs to his mark more often than not, for all he's been called a few names. And I think he'll run a solid race here. I'm not at all worried about him being drawn a stall nine. In fact, I think it's probably a good thing for a horse with his run style that he's unhampered by anything on his outside in the early stages of this race, which will help him go forward. And I think he might prove difficult to pass. You know, he does have his limitations at the at that sort of Group Two level, but he does win his races, and he came good this time last year. So he showed enough in his reappearance to suggest that all the old ability remained intact, and I can see him putting up a big run here.
Excellent. Regal Reality, for Sir Michael Stout and Rory Iswar for Joe in the Huxley Stakes. Looks a cracking little race. I love the way we in the racing broadcast industry, yeah, let's call it that, we like to use words like character. He's a character. Yeah.
That's because you told me I couldn't say it's on air.
Well, producer Mark is off today. He's on his way to the stag. We can say what we want. Yeah, he's a character. He's a bloody monkey. If Ted Walsh was on, he'd tell you what he thought.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Right, the Chester Cup. Some would say the feature of the entire week. 2 miles, 2.5 furlongs. Always a really big betting event. Andrew Balding's got the favourite in Aztec Empire, who's 9-2. Grand Providence for the same yard. Hayley Turner on board that one, 7-1. Zandabad for Tony Martin. It's put up by, I think he's a bit of a wise guy horse, is Zandabad. Unfortunately, he was too well handicapped to get into a lot of the hurdle races that I think they'd plotted. 8-1. The Shunter. Well, Emmett Mullins, well known for big plots and winning big pots, 17-2. And then, of course, Magellan Strait, the 150-1 winner of the Irish is Irish last season. He's 9-1 with Zoffy. Okay, Joe, lovely race. Irish got a half-decent record in it as well, as you'd expect. What's your angle into it?
I thought Grand Providence was interesting, but I was hoping that Oisin would do his minimum weight of 8.6 and ride it. But the fact that he hasn't, it's kind of put me off a little bit. I know they think a lot of that Aztec Empire has been really well backed in the market, but I don't seem to catch him on his good day. He has this tendency to bomb out a bit. But yeah, I was kind of doing a rain dance anti-post for this PK and hoping that Metier would show up, but he hasn't. So I'm kind of going with true line with Metier and going for Zoffy. He was second in the race last year off £3 higher and then went on to his next start and at Royal Ascot Handicap and finished 6-19, only beaten 3.5 lengths in that race, won by a horse with no name. But yeah, I'd expect him to be, you know, knocking on the door off this mark. He's off 90 now. But he was herding actually for the winter for Ali Murphy and didn't really show much, but he's back to Hugo Palmer now and back onto the flat, should kind of see his better form kind of sparking for him. But yeah, he's drawn one, likes to go forward as well. I think this is a tough race, and he's one that I'm happy to side with each way. A few extra places here at 9-1.
Okay. Zoffy, who's got course form, as you said, running in this race last season. Rory?
Yeah, Zoffy's a horse I'll struggle to back now until he can show a bit of form again. I backed him on his return to hurdles for Ollie Murphy because he'd improved chunks on the flats since he was handicapped over hurdles, and I thought he was a bit of a good thing, and he ran a stinker, an absolute stinker. Having been backed into favouritism overnight, and he did the same thing next time out at Newbury. Just doesn't enjoy hurdle. He'd been chasing before he came back to the flat. So he's made it clear that he prefers no obstacles. So he probably will come back to form, Zoffy. And obviously, stall one is not a bad place to be. I think the draw will make a difference here. I think the quicker the ground gets at Chester, the more the draw comes into things. And I think you've got a bunch of horses towards the inside who want to go forward as well. I'd be surprised if anything higher than 7 figures in the first three here. And the ones I don't mind, well, obviously I find it hard to back Zoffy, but I can see him bouncing back. Magellan Strait would probably prefer it a little bit softer than this, but he does have form on good ground. He's drawn in stall two. Aztec Empire, I can see where the gamblers come from with him. But if you like Aztec Empire, you've got to fancy Forza Orta, because Forza Orta beat Aztec Empire in neck over 2 miles at York last season on good to firm ground. And it's just a pound worse off for that that victory. As well back that day, everyone on course seemed to want to be with Forza Orta. And he put up a lifetime best performance, stepping up to 2 miles. His two runs after that were over shorter. He was disappointing in the Old Borough Cup at Haydock, as was Aztec Empire. And it's easy to forgive horses for running poorly at Haydock. And then he was midfield on his return over a mile and a half at Thirsk on heavy ground. But he gave the impression that he needed that run just to put him straight. And this would be the race that he would have been aimed at. I thought that was a perfectly reasonable performance. He's only £3 higher than for winning that competitive contest at York. He's drawn in stall three. He wants to go forward. He doesn't want to lead, but he wants to race reasonably prominently. That's absolutely fine for me in the Chester Cup. I mean, he'll be well positioned under Rowan Scott. And while I wouldn't swear that he's got a better chance than Aztec Empire, he is twice the price. And he makes plenty of appeal at around sort of 11 or 12 to 1. I'm looking at the general market price here. You're going to tell me he's nines or something there, aren't you?
No, but tens. We're splitting the difference on this occasion. 10 to 1 at the time recording. Who knows what price he goes? I don't think. Well, maybe he'll be back. But again, connections wise, I think maybe you might get a decent price. So Zoffy and Force Order, you're two in the Chester Cup. Kindly, ITV are going to show us some action from Ascot, day one of their Victoria Cup meeting. And it's a cracking race, this 150. It's a 7 furlong handicap, but that doesn't really tell you the full story. Not beyond the realms of possibility. If one of the two at the top of the weights win this, they could put themselves in for a tilt at the Jersey or something like that, because they are rated 96 and 93. Dragon Leader, winner 4 of 5 starts, is a 2-year-old for Clive Cox. Possible favourite with Accumulate in the Magnair colours for Roger Vernon and James Doyle, who's 2 from 3 last season. You've got American Bay for Harry Charlton, who showed good form and has fitness on his side. This is a good race, Joe. As I said, I think we could see a group horse win this if one of the top two in the weights win it, or top three.
Yeah, possibly if one of the top two in the weights win it, but I'd be hoping the bottom weight wins it. American Bay for me, PK. There's a couple in here making their handicap debut, but actually, like, American Bay was a real eye catcher on his handicap debut last time out. Look, he's good novice form with Dragon Leader, beating a nose, getting £4, and then beating 6 lengths by the Guineas Fort Ghostwriter. So his handicap debut is off 83, and look, he was denied a clear run for a while at a crucial stage, and then kind of flew home. And when he was denied a run, he was travelling best of the field. It's just that kind of, you know, potential big improvement to come off this mark, and you're hoping that, you know, he was travelling as good as he looked like, because he was a real eye catcher that day. This was actually priced up yesterday, a couple of days ago, and he was put in at like 10 to 1, 15 to 2. And look, he's well found in the market now. I think when the market closed for Dex, he was like 3 to 1 or something like that. It's not as big as a price as you'd love, but I think he's a fair price at around about the 3 to 1 mark. I think there's probably plenty of scope off his mark of 83.
American Bay for Joe. Rory.
Yeah, I can see where Joe's coming from with American Bay. The price has gone for me, though. And the slight concern was that the horse who finished a close third that day, Christian David, was well beaten next time out. So no massive positives coming out of the form, although Al-Shabaab Storm is fairly well beaten in 6, ran well next time. He did catch the eye that day, but as Joe said, the market has rather cottoned on to that, and he's favourite for the race generally. I thought Accumulate was probably the horse to beat, a son of Calyx, out of a useful mare in Dazzling Rose. He was second here over course and distance on his debut in September, improved to win a maiden at Newmarket on his next start, and travelled really well when winning a novice on the all-weather at Lingfield when last seen in November, beating a couple of nice sorts in Bois de France and Barak, who I think will go on to better things. We haven't seen either of those since. But Madge, who was fourth that day, and Alacrity, who was fifth, both came out and won their next races, as did the 8th home, My Noble Lord. So to get 3 of those behind winning next time out suggests that the Lingfield form was strong. And Accumulate, he was an odds-on favourite that day, travelled really strongly into it, ended up going very wide on the final bend, but came away to win by a length and a half. I wouldn't be at all surprised if one or two of those in behind ended up being quite smart performers. Bear in mind, he was a novice winner before that, or a maiden winner rather before that. So he was giving £7 away to most of those in behind, and more to Alacrity the filly. I thought it was a very good performance on paper and marked him down as a high class colt in the making. Roger Varian obviously in good form at this stage. I think there's going to be improvement to come from him. Handicapper's not taken too many chances with a mark of 93, but you'd have to say that Lingfield form suggests that he ran pretty close to that mark there and should do better still as a three-year-old.
Yeah, very interesting runner, and worried to win this comfortably. As I said, they'd be well worth the tilt at something like the Jersey. Could be end up being a proper group horse there, Accumulate. So A will win, Accumulate or American Bay for the lads. It's also Arctic Thunder. That doesn't help. Right, Friday nap time. Let's give Tom Nugent a winning nap on his stag at Chester. Could come at Ascot, though. I don't mind if it's either of those two, but they'll be able to bet on Ascot at Chester. That Chester bet thing's gone, right? That's not a thing anymore, is it? Hope not. Anyway. Right, best bet on Friday's action, please. Rory Delarge.
I'm going to go with Regal Reality in the Huxley Stakes. Just bring a little bit of a surprise under the excellent Safi Osborne, who's the finest jockey in the country, or none.
Okay, that's a big shout. Each way?
I'll go win only. I mean, obviously, you can bet. Yeah, you bet each way if you like. That's fine. I'll take a chance that he's able to nick that off the front, but you can take the insurance if you want it.
The classy nine-year-old Regal Reality. Joe, your best bet on Friday, please.
Mr. Hampstead and the Maiden, up and trip, brother to save the last dance, taking on the Aidan O'Brien favourite. I think he should improve. And he was a bit hard done by the way the races ran last time out.
Okay, so there we go, folks. A couple of naps for you at Chester, Regal Reality in the 305, Mr. Hampstead in the 205, an hour apart. There you are, smooth Tom. Go and back yourself a couple of winners on your stag and enjoy it with the likes of 20. He's a popular man, 28 in the stag. You married, Joe?
Jesus, no. No. God, no. Give me a few more years, PK. Jesus, I'm still young yet.
Okay. Do you have a significant other?
That's how I do. Yeah.
Okay. And is he/she? How long has he/she been around?
nearly 3 years we're together now. Is she? Yeah.
Okay. Very good. 3 years. Ah, no. Come on now. 3 years.
Oh, don't stop. Now you're putting me under pressure.
Well, if I'm putting you under pressure, she's obviously not. So you should be fine. Roy, do you remember your stag?
Yes, I do.
But then it was no good.
It was disappointing. I was forced to wear a dress at one point. everyone seemed to be just ticking boxes.
Yeah.
So I wore a red dress and a wig, and that was for about 20 minutes. And then everyone got bored of it. Went to Leeds, which is not a bad place to go for a stag, I suppose. Plenty of nice bars.
What was the activity? Drinking?
Just drinking.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay.
Keep it simple.
There was nothing fancy. It was just drinking.
There's got to be, nowadays, like if someone says, oh yeah, what are we doing? We're going to this pub. That's very boring. Come on, get a bit more interesting. Even if it's a round of golf, just think outside the box, lads. But anyway, the lads are gone to the races. So that's not too bad. Hopefully we found a few winners for you, the listener, and Smooth Tom and Producer Mark are enjoying themselves in Chester. We will be back tomorrow, as I mentioned, for our look ahead to the weekend. There's a brilliant weekend of racing. I've asked the lads to look at every race from basically, I think, Navan. Did I add a Navan one in there? I might have asked one. Navan to Longchamp to Lingfield to Ascot, Haydock. And they're going to give me a selection every race. This is great. Probably. Right, we'll be back with that. Don't forget, check out the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel for our Eurovision preview ahead of Saturday's big event, Saturday night. Come on, the Bambi Thug. Crown the Witch. You know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Crown the Witch.
Up before from you.
Nice. Crown the Witch. Right, look forward to that. Have a great Friday, folks. Best of luck, Tom.